working in Beaufort with refugees who are coming off of the plantations and helping them to get settled and helping them, you know, to get rations and helping them to find work and or other ways of making money to feed their families, but to actually go onto plantations. And it's like putting, it's not just going to the zoo and looking at the animals, but you're putting your hand in the lion's mouth.
Correct.
Right? To go onto those plantations to bring people out is something that is just, I still struggle to wrap my head around the enormity of that risk and the enormity of that sacrifice.
The excerpt you just heard is part of my interview with Dr. Etta Fields Black. Stay tuned. Once again, welcome to another segment of Reclaiming History with Livonia Mallory. I am honored to have a very special guest on the line with us. Dr. Etta L. Fields Black is the Associate Professor at Carnegie Mellon University in the Department of History. She has written many numerous scholarly studies on transnational history of West African rice farmers, including Deep Roots, Rice Farmers in West Africa and the African Diaspora, and Rice, Global Networks and New Histories. She's also co-produced a symphonic work entitled Unburied, Unmourned, Unmarked, Requiem for Rice with the 3-time Emmy Award-winning classical music composer John Wineglass. Dr. Fields Black has also been a history consultant for the International African American Museum, scheduled to open in Charleston in 2022. She has been a past consultant with the Smithsonian National Museum of African American History and Culture's permanent exhibit, Rice Fields of the Low Country. But today we are going to be talking about her upcoming book entitled Cumbie, Harriet Tubman, The Cumbahee River Raid and Black Freedom During the Civil War by Oxford University. Dr. Etta Fields Black, are you there?
I'm here.
So, you know, I keep asking this question is always, you know, being a person who admires, you know, military folks and their willingness. I come from a family of men who have served in the military and distant cousins, female cousins. Mm-hmm. This woman, Harriet, did she carry a gun? Was she armed when she snuck behind enemy lines with these scouts?
That I don't know. The sources do not tell us that. Now, I know that in the woodcut, Harriet is carrying a knapsack and that there are oral traditions that she kept a pistol in the knapsack. Mm-hmm. There are accounts of Tubman on the plantations and sort of not so much on the plantations, but leaving the plantations in the raid and literally running with enslaved people and helping enslaved people to carry things, mainly pigs and small children and other, you know, their very meager belongings, but things that they tried to bring with them. In those accounts, there's not an account, there's not a mention of Tubman carrying a knapsack. The sources don't reveal that she carried a gun or a knapsack that may have had a gun in it. And quite honestly, historical sources don't tell us everything. We know that she was on the boat. Okay. We know she was on the plantation. We know that she was coming from the plantation. She gives a very rich description of that. Have a good idea of what happened during the raid, but that detail of whether or not she was carrying a gun, whether or not she was armed, either carrying her own gun, which we know she had, or carrying a pistol or a rifle or something that was issued by the U.S. Army, that we don't know.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So what do you know about the raid itself?
Yeah, so as I mentioned, early in the morning, or they're called gunboats, but they're not really gunboats. This is how enslaved and formerly enslaved people who were in the region called them. They called them Yankee gunboats. So that's what I'm going to call them for the moment. These four Yankee gunboats left Beaufort, South Carolina, and they left and they arrived before daybreak. So just about, the sun is just about to come up. And the enslaved laborers were already in the rice fields. They were already in the fields hoeing rice. And they saw the boats coming up the river. They ran to the boats. We know from one of the planters that he was asleep in his bed. And the enslaved driver burst into his bedroom. He says it was about 5 o'clock in the morning. He's in bed asleep. And tells him that the Yankees are coming. They're coming up the river. They're almost right outside the house. And so he pulls on, I assume, a pair of pants and runs outside and tells the driver to go get the field hands. He's going to go get the house servants. They should all hide in the woods. But the enslaved people see the gunboats coming up and they run for the boat. And so Tubman describes this just scene of people running for their lives, quite frankly. Mm-hmm. And some people, we can assume, went back to the slave quarters to get things or to get people or to get animals that they wanted to take with them, you know, all that they owned in the world. And whether they went back to the quarters or not, they ran straight for the boat. And they got on the boats, and there were so many people. And one of the boats ran aground before they got up the river, so they only had three boats. There were so many people, they couldn't take everybody. And they couldn't take the stuff, you know, the small, meager possessions that people wanted to bring with them. And so they had to leave it behind. And they got on the boats, and they sailed back to Beaufort. With approximately, Tubman says, 756 people. Colonel Montgomery says 730-something, maybe 31. Either way, it's over 700. Either way, it's over 725, I would say. And they sail back to Beaufort. Yeah, and they're taken to a church. The men are stripped and examined, and they're enlisted in the military, the men.
How significant is it that she was freeing slaves? Like, I mean, we often think about, we all know the story of Harriet Tubman. She's this great Underground Railroad conductor. She brings so many people to freedom. But slaves were property. It was not just to free slaves, quote unquote, but to capture resources from the enemy.
Yeah, it was very significant. It was very, very significant. And I'll say two things. On the one hand, in terms of Harriet Tubman, she risked her life to free other people time and time and time and time again. Right. Going on to plantations in the region of Dorchester County to bring people out to freedom. Many of them were friends, many of them were family members, many of them were community members, people who had, with whom she had some relationship. For her to go to the Deep South, for her to go into the belly of the beast, to leave freedom in Philadelphia, Boston, or even in Canada after the fugitive slave law becomes law in 1850, for her to go into the belly of the beast and risk her life to help people she doesn't know is just mind-boggling.
Oh my goodness, I can't believe it. We are out of time. To my listeners, tune in again. I will continue my discussion with Dr. Etta L. Fields Black, associate professor at Carnegie Mellon, who's working on her upcoming book entitled Cumbie, Harriet Tubman, The Cumbahee River Raid, and Black Freedom During the Civil War by Oxford University.